As we continue on with our series of podcasts about drugs in America, who would have thought that we'd be talking about Narcan? I mean, sounds like some kind of group that was a spinoff of Scientology. They didn't want you to know it, so they call themselves Narcan. But Narcan is a drug, but it reverses the effects of overdoses of fentanyl, of heroin, of Percocet, Vicodin, opioids, oxycodone, hillbilly heroin. And now that the United States Surgeon General in the Trump administration has urged every American to carry around a can of Narcan. And the cans, they've gotten smaller. They're sort of like ring pops. I'll explain that in a second. But can you imagine? Every man, woman, and child is being asked to carry around Narcan. That's how quickly people are dropping like flies from ODing. And yet, when you look at the National Drug Registry, and you look at the way drugs are categorized, stage one drugs considered the most dangerous, right? Naturally, heroin, fentanyl, we could agree. And then they have marijuana listed there. So you would say to the Surgeon General, hey, look, I know you don't want to be at odds with the Department of Justice and the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who is a throwback to Sergeant Joe Friday from the days of the 60s when he equated marijuana smoking with dropping tabs of LSD and shooting up heroin. But Mr. Surgeon General, you don't administer Narcan to somebody who has like gotten the munchies from smoking too much marijuana. And who is the last person to die from ODing on marijuana? But put that aside, because the Surgeon General clearly understands the issue, because his own brother is in jail for having stolen money to feed his opioid addiction. And that's what the Surgeon General is talking about. So you would say to yourself, Narcan, Narcan, boy, the government rarely tells me that I have to carry something around. But the Surgeon General is somewhat belligerent about this. Like, listen to this volunteer in Chicago, which has become the opioid express of the Middle West.
Well, that's been our objective all along, to get it available over the counter. So anybody can get it. Not everybody's going to use till they die. Some people get out of it. But if they die while they're in it, they don't have that chance.
Well, now he's talking about the addict themselves administering Narcan as they're all doing. Not the easiest thing in the world to do. So let's go to another volunteer talking about how Narcan can be used to help those who are ODing.
Well, once someone's not breathing and they're not responding to any sort of stimulus, you give them breath, and at that time, I usually administer naloxone.
All right, that makes sense. That makes sense when you administer Narcan. So remember, the Surgeon General is not just making these comments because he wants headlines and attention, but according to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, there is a reason that the Surgeon General is pressing the emergency button about how people need to carry and use Narcan.
You don't see these very much. The last time a public health advisory was issued like this was back in 2005, and that was warning pregnant women about the uses of alcohol during pregnancy. So they want to make this more widely available. They want to have loved ones be able to administer this because it can just take too long for paramedics to arrive. I mean, if someone's overdosing, you only have minutes usually.
Okay, so there's so many places in our country where ODs are taking place fast and furiously. Since we're in the Northeast Corridor here at WABC, let's look at bucolic Suffolk County in the east end of Long Island. Per capita per person, it has more ODs than anywhere else in this part of the country. That's right, more ODs than Staten Island, where this plague began almost a decade ago. More ODs than in the hood in the South Bronx, which obviously is a larger population base to work off of, where people have been using drugs for decades. And there are 13 things that you need to know about Narcan. First off, number one, it's easy to learn how to administer. It's not like taking out a hypodermic and a syringe, and then all of a sudden you got to find a vein, and you got to shoot it into somebody's vein. And you've even seen trained professionals, EMTs, nurses, and doctors sometimes struggle to administer a hypodermic needle properly. No, you don't need to do that. Narcan comes in a canister. Number two, The Surgeon General is suggesting that American citizens go to a Narcan class to learn how to administer it. Sort of like, remember when there was that time period in which everyone was encouraged to learn CPR, especially if somebody happened to be in your presence and they swallowed a chicken bone or something, went down the wrong pipe, and then all of a sudden you have to administer first aid and CPR and revive the person. And there'd be CPR classes that were mandated, particularly in a lot of civil businesses, civil service businesses, and in private service businesses. But a Narcan class is over lickety-split. Let's use a town in Suffolk County again as an example. Because Narcan is the number one drug most administered by the Huntington Community First Aid Squad in Huntington Station, which is at the epicenter of the opioid trafficking and where gangs like MS-13, 18th Street, Bloods, Crips, and Latin Kings thrive in that environment. But the squad last year in Huntington Station responded to 61,000 calls, the second largest number alone in Suffolk County. Number four, the newest Narcan dose kits are one-piece units, which, unlike older ones, require zero assembly. So they come ready to operate at the spur of the moment. And they're roughly the size of ring pops. Number five, fentanyl has replaced heroin as the most used opioid, not only in Suffolk County in the east end of Long Island, but in many places around the country. Now remember, you have to grow heroin. Then it's got to go through chemical laboratories, and then you got to get it here. Whereas with fentanyl, you can make it anywhere. You can make it in a home laboratory, like people used to make tabs of LSD. Or the Red Chinese make it in bulk in chemical laboratories that are really factories, and then they send it in the hull of ships that are bringing products for Target and Walmart and Kmart to our stores here in America. Or they bring it south of the border to Mexico and then it's smuggled here. Number six, some heavy users, after mixing a baggie of fentanyl with water, inject themselves every 3 or 4 hours to keep from going into immediate painful withdrawal. But like anything, when you've got to do it every 3 or 4 hours, you could be sane and sober. And you know, if you have to take a certain medication, you forget. You forget to take spoons of cough syrup, or you forget to take tablets or any kind of medicines, but you don't suffer repercussions as a result of that. But if you're a hardcore fentanyl junkie who is shooting up a baggie of fentanyl with water and you don't do it every 3 to 4 hours, you get into the serious Benz, the serious Jones, and you start going into OD country. And that's when fentanyl has to be administered to you. That's why, believe it or not, a lot of the junkies themselves who will, like, share a needle, which is like a no-no because you're gonna spread the virus, the AIDS virus that'll lead to HIV and AIDS or to hepatitis C or to other ailments, they'll actually carry around Narcan and administer it to one another. At least they're using some safety provisions, knowing they can't all shoot up simultaneously, because if it's a bad batch of fentanyl and the hit is too high, they could all die simultaneously, and then there's nobody there to administer them the Narcan. Number seven, one baggie of fentanyl, heroin, or some combination of the two is called a hit. 10 baggies in the streets is called a bundle. 10 bundles is a sleeve. Now you're talking big money. You're talking weight. You're talking you could be going away for a month of Sundays in jail. This is not just for personal use. This is either to cut heroin with the fentanyl, which, believe it or not, is cheaper, and secondarily, to make maximum profit when you're dealing decks of it in the streets. Number eight, a bundle can cost between $60 to $100. Economically, that is unsustainable for an addict. Unless you're living off a blind trust and you're rolling in dough. If someone is using every 3 or 4 hours and they're shooting up fentanyl, it's going to be worse because it'll be impossible for them to hold on to a job, which means they become a walking, talking crime machine. They're boosting products as they go into stores. They're stealing whatever they can get their hands on, and they're going in and out of the joint. They're going to start local with municipal jail, and then all of a sudden it's county jail, and then maybe they end up in a state institution, but it's an endless treadmill. that is only going to get worse and worse in terms of the rap sheet that you develop. Number nine, opioid addiction and mental health issues. They're like two peas in a pod. They're like a soup in a sandwich, a horse in a carriage. They go hand in hand, which makes treating addicts incredibly challenging because as they're manic depressive, or the popular term of the day, bipolar, they have these intensive mood swings in which they go through rehab and then all of a sudden they're clean and sober and then they shoot up again and they're crawling into the belly of the beast. Number 10, as we use Suffolk County in the east end of Long Island as our base for explaining Narcan and its use. The number of addicts opting to use Suffolk's four clinics that offer methadone, an opioid used to help addicts taper off or stay off heroin, actually was created by the Nazi troops in World War II towards the end of the war to replace morphine. Since they couldn't develop morphine, they created methadone in the laboratories and administered that on the battlefield or in their hospitals to those who were suffering from incredible pain. But it's meant to wean you off of heroin. Now, as a result, methadone, which is the opioid used to help addicts taper off or to stay off of heroin, that need has increased. You would think there would be other clinics that would open up in every neighborhood. We've had methadone clinics since the 60s. I can't tell you how many men and women will go to a methadone clinic every day and get a little tub. It's like a little tub of butter that you might get at a diner. And they drink the liquid, and it prevents them from having a desire to have heroin or other opioids. They're able to drive 18-wheel tractor-trailer trucks. They're able to handle themselves sanely and soberly and not be a menace nor danger to society. And yet, if you were to tell a community, hey, you know, you think it would be better that we have a methadone center here for those addicts who need this as a therapy to their addiction to heroin or opioids? And the community will say, not in my backyard, even though we've been using methadone centers since the 60s. And how many of our neighbors, unbeknownst to you, because they're probably not going to tell you, are on methadone maintenance and are functioning, raising their families, paying their taxes, and they're not a menace to society. But community resistance to drug treatment centers is at an all-time high. But aren't we really hurting ourselves, Mom, by not allowing for more methadone clinics to open up? I'd much rather have our citizens taking methadone, state-subsidized, yeah, we pay for it, than to have heroin or opioid junkies roaming the community, stealing everything they can, scheming, white-collar crime, no-collar crime, you name it, just to get their next fix. But try to explain that to a hard-working taxpayer, and they say, what? Subsidized junkies? Number 11, Suffolk County is probably going to see a record number of deaths for the calendar year that ended 2017. But after years of increases, local officials are hopeful that they could be seeing a slowdown year after year. A look at the 12-month period between May of 2017 and last month shows Suffolk County averaged about 3.6 overdoses a day and one death every 36 hours. Now, that's a major improvement because Suffolk County had about 6 overdoses a day, one fatal, during the previous 12-month period. Number 12. Since we're using Suffolk County as the example, since 2013, Suffolk County has offered 360 Narcan training classes. But the county has to cut back because New York State, which provides the free Narcan kits, reduced the number going to Suffolk because statewide demand is high. So if you ask for 1,200 at your center, you'll be lucky if you get 600. Number 13, Suffolk County still has the largest number of opioid overdoses of any suburban county in New York State. And it runs 1 and 2 with the South Bronx in New York City and Staten Island, where this epidemic exploded onto the radar screen over 10 years ago. Little, if anything, was done in both those locations, and it spread like wildfire. So, ladies and gentlemen, Narcan is a drug. But it is the one drug that the Surgeon General of the United States is urging every man, woman, and child to carry around. In fact, it would be similar to the stories we used to hear in the Swiss Alps, where St. Bernard dogs would have a rum jug around their neck, and they would naturally run up to stranded skiers. They would take a little bit of rum and that would warm them up to keep the cold and the paralyzing effects of coldness away and allow them to survive for another day. So think of Narcan with this growing opioid, heroin, and fentanyl addiction rate that we're suffering at all different levels of society from one coast to the other coast, but especially in the heartland of America, as being the equivalent of the old-fashioned St. Bernard with the rum jug in the Swiss Alps, saving skiers, whereas you Americans, all of you, no matter who you are, might be saving your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your friends, your relatives, your co-workers by giving them Narcan.